Good afternoon and welcome to the Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomarashow.com. You know, the day after the Super Bowl, what we often like to do, because you just don't see a lot of people do it, is we like to go over the winners and the losers.
Are you referring to the Packers and the Steelers?
No, not the winners and the losers from the football game, Rob.
Oh.
It's the winners and the losers for the TV commercials.
The best commercials.
You know, it's funny.
I should say from the TV commercials. But, you know, I could say for the TV commercials because we're so dumb.
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter.
It's kind of funny. It's almost like there's a certain segment of the population that watches the game, not for the game.
You know,
they watch the commercials.
The commercials.
I like the dog.
Isn't that fantastic.
Love it. Horses.
You know, here's an educated guess here.
Sure.
This is just an opinion. I don't want to go out on a limb.
Well, you have graduated from the University of Life.
But it seems to me.
Listen,
I don't want to make a controversial statement here.
I think what you should do is you should paint with broad strokes.
I think people like animal ads.
They do.
Okay, I
they
said
do.
It.
They do.
I said it.
Too far.
I said it.
Too far.
Hey, you know what else people like?
What do they like, Rob?
And again, if I'm going to say something that alienates somebody, I'm very sorry.
Don't do it.
But
don't do it.
It seems like America likes a pretty face.
Attractive women?
Yes.
Attractive women.
Sure.
Well, here's what I've got. I've got the winners.
Sure.
And the losers.
The ups and downs.
Of the TV commercials from Super Bowl Sunday.
So are you going to hand out plaudits and brickbats?
Hold on just a second.
Yeah?
I don't want to go out on a limb here.
Oh, no.
Again?
But it seems to me
Every time you do this, you make someone unhappy.
If you buy... if you buy a 30-second commercial on the Super Bowl...
And I understand this year, 30 seconds cost over $25,000.
Unbelievable. Now, we might
have... I don't know the exact figure.
We might have our figures wrong, but I think Rob might be right there. Yes, the astronomical sum, 30 seconds for over $2,500.
Over $1,000 a second.
Are you ready for the winners and the losers?
Huh?
Count them down for us.
I don't want to go out on a limb here.
How's that?
But it seems to me that you get so much press coverage that you get extra time. Let me explain how this works.
Exactly.
How long have you been in this business?
I didn't just fall off the turnip truck.
And you know, he's right.
He is right.
They get extra credit.
That's right, Mike.
We cover these commercials.
We talk about them, too.
But they sure are fun.
They entertain us.
Hey, you know what else? We talked about animals.
Yes.
And the pretty face. You know what else America seems to like?
What do they like?
A stupid guy.
A stupid guy getting hit in the groin.
And what I like to call, Mike,
the human situation.
You know, getting hit in the groin.
It's very funny, but sad.
It's very sad.
But it's very funny.
I had it happen once. I was playing ping pong, of all things. Excruciatingly painful.
Were you hit with the ping pong ball?
No, the paddle. All right, let's go on here. All right, here we go. Winners and losers.
Which will you do first?
Let's start with the losers.
Okay.
That's it.
There were no losers.
No. I'm kidding you.
Everybody had a great time because it was
you.
A great game.
All right, here are the losers.
Yeah.
First of all, the first loser, HomeAway.com. The entire commercial seemed like a setup to them to throw a baby into a plate glass window.
Hey, by the way, you know what? If you ever are to do that in real life, it's not funny. It's not good for the baby.
America loves babies.
But if you break the baby or the window, you know, who's laughing then?
When I was a child, there was a period of time when they had a series of these jokes called dead baby jokes.
Never funny to me.
You won't hear those here.
That's right. How do you put a baby on a pile with a pitchfork?
Yeah.
What kind of
exactly?
You won't hear that from us.
Mind.
I just remember that knock knock jokes never made anybody mad.
Do you know any? You don't know any of those disgusting
baby jokes.
Dead baby jokes.
Do you happen to remember any of them? I remember a punchline.
Oh, you do?
One if you slice it thin enough.
No.
And you know what? That's not funny.
But it's good
not
enough
funny
for me.
At all.
It's just an example of how bad things could be.
Exactly. HomeAway.com, right. Not good. Okay, Groupon. I don't know what this is. Is this some sort of sex group?
I didn't see that one.
No,
myself.
I think it's a kind of mustard, isn't
they
it?
They went the edgy route, starting their ad to make it seem
starting
like it was
their
a... Starting
their ad?
Starting... They went the edgy route.
Edgy.
Starting their ad to make it seem like it was about suffering in Tibet.
Right.
Then turning it into an ad for coupons on Tibetan food. It wasn't funny enough to justify going the semi-offensive route.
Tasteless.
You mean that wasn't an ad for Tibetan food?
I hate it when foreigners are made fun of.
Yeah.
Unless, of course, they're terrorists. Let's laugh at them. Anyway, here we go.
Why don't we tell jokes about dead terrorists?
Oh, now I'm left.
See, and that's you said, and one if you slice him thin enough.
Why?
How's that?
Why do we laugh at dead terrorists? Because they tried to hurt us.
They did.
That's right.
They did.
The last
it's
loser,
6 past the hour.
Pepsi Max.
Yes.
Pepsi went mostly with slapstick and old stereotypes.
Yes.
The guy getting hit in the groin. Well, why is this a bad one?
That's very funny.
That's hysterical.
And it's universal, Mike.
Oh, and men think about sex on a date while women think about marriage. Well, that's perfect. I'm laughing at that.
Makes sense to me.
You know, sex outside of marriage is comical.
Their ads felt generic.
Sex inside of marriage is unlikely.
It says here that the ads felt generic. Well, excuse me, Mr. 25-cent word. I don't know what generic means, so I'm rejecting this review.
I think if you're finding something that you want to appeal to a fella who's age 25 to 54, why not keep it general? I think that's what it means.
Are you ready for the winners?
Yes, please.
I sure am.
Traffic
Doritos
in 2 minutes.
Had two strong commercials, one with a guy licking cheese off his coworker's fingers.
That was
We loved it.
He actually...
I know.
Another with a dog pushing a glass door over onto his owner for taunting him with Doritos.
Now you see this
fracturingly
is,
funny.
But the queer duality of man.
Hey.
Now,
jock.
I mean queer and meaning different.
Queer as folk.
Why is it bad?
What a disgusting show that was. Queer
did
as
you,
folk.
Did you look at it?
I don't like seeing homosexuals.
No, I don't either.
I just don't think it's appropriate.
Well, I don't think it's
week
usual.
Week after week.
Every week.
Not good.
Why is it a winner?
But I'm for marriage between gays.
Wow.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Why is it a winner if you throw a dog against a window?
Winner
but, but if you throw a baby against a window,
that's right.
It's a loser.
Okay, got to wrap this up. All right, go.
How's that?
Thanks. Volkswagen, their ad featured a kid dressed as Darth Vader. We talked about that. That
brilliant.
Was absolutely
kid.
Brilliant piece of comedy.
God. Damn
absolutely.
It.
So brilliant, I wanted to have a bowel movement.
He made the Today Show today.
So goddamn great.
And how about the NFL? F&A, Rob. The NFL took TV clips from everything from Seinfeld to The Simpsons to Happy Days, and they put them like in football jerseys.
How do they do that?
Brilliant. I know. Is that brilliant. I looked at the football game, and I was at a bar, and my voice is changing, but I need to for this story. And after that promo ran, some guy took the microphone real loud and said, that sucked.
And the number one ad, Bridgestone Tires.
Number one.
They had two ads that perform very well. Of course, those are the people that twist the meter.
Yeah.
Sure.
Oh.
That's right.
Yeah. Those retards.
Good or bad.
Anyway, they perform very well, including a big one with a beaver and a driver becoming good friends and helping each other
out. I don't
out.
Think it was a beaver. I think it was a monkey.
Really?
I do.
Well, lick the taint.
You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at www.mikeomaraShow.com.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show.
Let's get down to business.
From the entertainment capital of the world.
May I present to you my spy in the Ministry of Defense, Fat Bastard.
First things first, where's your step? I've got a turtle head poking out.
Charming.
I'm not kidding. I got a on deck that could choke a donkey. Oh, it's squidgy.
Right. Fat Bastard, could I have my mojo, please?
Jesus Christ, he's tiny. I've a bigger chunks of corn in my
wait a minute. He kind of looks like a baby.
Come here, I'm going to eat you. I'm bigger than you, I'm higher in the food chain. Get in my belly. Come on. Dr. Evil, let me make you a deal, all right? You get the mojo, you keep your money, and I'll get your baby.
Right.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show. Mike O'Mara, Buzz Burbank, Rob Spiewak, Oscar Santana. And now, from his couch, here's Mike.
Don't drop your show prep, Mike.
It's just a little letter. Bad company. Anyway. Enjoyed across America on stations like Iowa 1630 KCJJ, Vermont's 107.1 The Game, and in 147 countries around the world. This is MikeOMaraShow.com. It is Monday, Feb 7, 2011, and good afternoon.
Monday.
Everyone.
Hi.
We're glad to be here. We're over 5 million downloads and rising. Wow. That's a terrific number. Try to get that number up, though. So tell a friend, tell a neighbor. Really want to get those numbers up as things are really beginning to slip here.
Anyway,
today's show is brought to you by RIP Digital. Convert your entire CD collection to high-quality MP3 files without spending hours at the computer. RIP Digital. I watched Buzz's movie.
I did, too.
And it shows how they do all this.
Right.
They can find album art, which I thought was the coolest thing, and track information that iTunes can't. Go to RIP Digital if you've got a huge CD collection. Why am I talking to the camera? Because it's there. I don't know. Why are you? Shut up.
Mike, you are radio's Fred Weiss.
Thank you.
And you have never met a camera that you don't like.
Otherwise known as Whitey. RIP Digital takes all your CDs. If you got a bunch of them in your basement, in your garage, but you don't want to get rid of them. You want to keep them, but you know you want to get into the modern age of digital technology. They will take all of them and put them onto a nice little...
The magic is you don't have to get rid of them, but you can put them in storage.
Or you can get rid of them if you want to and get rid of the clutter.
And what they do is they put them on what I like to call a thingy.
Mm-hmm.
Oh,
and they'll take your entire, your entire CD collection, and it's whittled down to a thingy.
Right.
And then the thingy you can listen to and eat it.
No.
And it's great on pasta. And don't be fooled.
Delicious.
It's not a fiendish thingy.
Right.
It's a wonderful thingy.
Click the RIP Digital ad on our website or visit ripdigital.com. I guess they're happier because they're still on the show.
They're thrilled.
Yes.
They're absolutely thrilled.
That's
not as excited as I am.
Well, lots to talk about today on the show. It was the big party thanks to Jimmy Cerrito.
Mm-hmm. James Cerrito.
What a guy.
Jimmy's Old Town Tavern again for having the entire Mike O'Mara Show crew out there.
A wonderful friend.
Some drunker than others.
Oh, yeah.
And some who will not be allowed to drink anymore.
Yes, I'm sorry about that.
We are very, very happy that we were at Jimmy's. Mm-hmm. And great Super Bowl party.
Mm-hmm.
We were down
good
in our
people.
Spot. It's like we throw a party for everybody. They pack the joint, uh-huh. and then we take the best table.
We huddle in the corner.
It's really a dream gig, isn't it?
But we
it?
Are pretty open. If anyone has got just an ounce of courage to approach us,
yes.
we're very fast to have them sit with us.
Right.
Carrie was not sitting with us.
Right.
No, but many listeners were.
And some of us venture out into the crowd
as well. Of course,
as well.
It's always fun.
It was wonderful. It was great to be there, and Jimmy is a wonderful host as usual. It was fun.
Carrie had never been there before,
right.
and I told her on the ride over, I said, now, no matter what happens with the game, if the spots, anything, if anything sucks, you're going to have a good time watching Jimmy being a bar owner.
Right.
And
he's
she
great.
Said, what do you mean? He says, well, for one thing, he walks around the place with a microphone at all times
yes,
so
he
can
does.
Talk. And she says, he does not do that. I said, yes.
Was that her first time there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Wow.
We were in the door maybe 10 seconds before Jimmy spotted us, keyed his mic, and said, ladies and gentlemen, Carrie Spiewak is here.
Yay!
And Jimmy was just blood red with embarrassment.
It was your so. Line of the day. We were all talking how we loved our significant others. And Rob says to everyone that could listen over the microphone, the PA system, hi there, and I'd just like to say about my wife, Carrie, I'm very fond of you.
Yes. She'll always hold a very nice place in my heart.
One of my favorite parts of the evening. Oscar Santana on the Unable to Playlist today.
Yes, injured reserve.
You know, he had a very, very bad car accident on Saturday.
He did.
And was loaded with Vicodin, which he supplemented with a little vodka.
Well, you can't take pills without liquid, Mike.
Not something I recommend highly, but he will not be on the program today, and hopefully he'll be back tomorrow to tell his tale of woe.
Tale is woeful because he got rear-ended.
Well, yeah, he's going to get rear-ended tomorrow when he gets back to work, too, because frankly, I think he should be here, but that's just me. But I mean, he might be in a lot of pain.
Wheel him in. We'll
All I know
out.
Is Kara was coming over to him and touching him, and I just wanted him to be here because he was one of the people that was more festive than others.
I like when he was festive. Cuddling up with RJ and then a trophy and then anybody. Yeah,
he was very in touch with his feminine side.
He
last
was.
Night.
He's
very,
a cuddler.
Very touchy.
I think the Vicodin makes him not want to go to another table. Normally, if it's just the vodka, he's elsewhere. But
he
was so with us.
Yeah.
So we'll have to get an update
no
on
more
that
Vicodin.
Later. So today on the show, we'll tell you all about Jimmy's party. Also, dog sitting time at the O'Mara's. We are now joined by two additional canines.
The house is full of dogs.
Making the total four.
Four.
Yay, rah, rah.
Three pugs.
Now, are they here
and a
today?
They're here today.
Yes.
But they won't be
them?
In the front of the house yet. Two new pugs.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah, delightful. Thank
That's
you.
That's wonderful, Mike.
That'd make a great movie, Three Pugs and a Chihuahua.
We will discuss the dumbest day in America, which I have redubbed Super Bowl Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
It's
yeah.
the dumbest day
no
in
question.
America. And I saw a movie I took in the cinema over the weekend. I'd like to give you a belated review of a movie I saw, which I didn't like. I put it on Facebook. You probably already
yes.
saw it. And let me see. What did I say? I wrote something down that and this was just minutes ago that I wrote this down.
Oh,
and
he's,
now I
ladies
can't
and gentlemen,
it.
It's the Mike O'Mara Show Jumble.
Christina. That, of course, about Christina Aguilera.
Yes. Yes.
Just duh. You know, really, I've done this before. I've done this. This is, of course, the largest stage. The greatest fear one has mm-hmm. is the national anthem and then mm-hmm. screwing up the lyrics.
Yeah.
So I can understand it, but at the same time, you know, when you're Christina Aguilera, come on.
Yeah.
Come on.
Do you think there's any chance it was done on purpose? Because now people will say, well, at least it was live.
I don't think
so. I did hear that a lot this morning.
I heard that,
and
but I don't
thought
think so.
About it because you know what? It was so slickly covered.
It was slickly covered, but I will say this is the internet age that we live in. I am at the Green Turtle for the Edge yesterday. I did two locations, and I'm at the Green Turtle, and then I made it over to Jimmy's for our party over there.
Right.
But before I left, we were going to give away some concert tickets, and I was waiting till the anthem was over, and then I was going to sneak it in between that and the kickoff. And so I'm thinking about what I'm going to say to give away these tickets, mm-hmm. and at the same time, I'm watching the anthem. So it went by me, and I just wanted to find out if I was like everybody else where she did it, and everybody kind of went, she covered it so well.
Do you want to hear the tape?
Yeah, let's hear the tape.
Good.
We played it on the radio this morning.
We thought
and
it was wrong, but we weren't sure.
Yeah,
that's sort of the feeling.
That's how, mm-hmm. that's how
especially
everybody
especially in a festive setting like a
bar,
it goes by so fast. The thought I had was, did she just do that?
Yeah, also, that's what I had to. Good, I'm not alone with that.
No, not at all.
But the thing about it is, I think this is the lyric for the national anthem anyway. It is, any way you slice it, a challenging lyric.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, the words are hard because of the way.
It's Shakespearean, practically.
Well,
you know?
The words are all inverted. It's written in an old style. And you couple with that it's a really hard melody to follow. It's got a large range. People have been pulling to change to God Bless America
for
years.
So I'll hit the dinger when she screws up.
Okay.
All right.
Some broad stripes and bright stars through the pain. What so proudly we watched at the twilight's last dreaming.
All right, let's play it again. Because I want to go through it, okay?
Okay, actually, I have the lyrics here that should have been. It's, or the ramparts we watched were so gallantly streaming.
Right.
And she's saying, what so proudly we watched at the twilight's last, and then I mostly hear,
All right, play it again.
Okay.
And let me see it, because I want to follow.
Mike knows, because he's sung this more than once in stadiums.
It's scary.
Broad stripes and bright stars through the perilous fight. What so proudly we watched at the twilight's last dreaming.
Yeah, reaming.
Reaming.
Twilight's last reaming.
What's on her mind?
Yeah.
She punted it.
Hey,
she punted it.
But you know what? Good voice. Nice presentation.
Yeah, but
not
damn it,
great,
come on.
But get it right. And also, you know what I think?
God, you're millions and millions
Some
and millions
big event.
Of viewers.
I do think maybe in over her head.
What, to
what
sing
you,
that?
What do you mean?
Well, I think
but
that
she's
that
been
is,
on stage. She's done
yeah,
concerts.
Yeah, but you know what? That's still the national anthem of the sporting event of the year.
What, you just,
I don't think Christina Aguilera. I think get someone bigger.
All right, well, let me tell you why.
You think there's bigger? I mean, she's pretty big.
She's pretty big. She was bigger 5 years
but
ago.
Rob, but, I mean, it's she's done it before. I'm
had
sure.
she memorized the lyrics, she would have been up to the task. She certainly sang it well enough.
She's fine.
It is.
She was a big bowl of okay.
I
Mike.
Can only explain, and mine is, you know, doing it at a Nationals game, at a baseball game. Your greatest
But that was
stress.
Also 105,000 in attendance.
At RFK's there. It was the Mets.
It was. It was a good game.
So they had a crowd.
That's right.
They did.
The Nationals.
How would you like to see a great team from out of town?
The only stress I had was the lyric. Mm-hmm. That's all you think. We had Stan Kasten on the old Don and Mike
and
show.
And he told
and
you.
And he comes on and he goes, don't mess the lyric up. He goes, hey, thanks, Stan. Mm-hmm. And you're thinking about, you know, outside of being just obnoxious like Roseanne, the only thing people are going to... people are remembered. I was saying to myself as I'm walking down to actually perform the national anthem, I'm saying, you know, this makes you an internet celebrity when you screw up. Lyric.
If you're remembered for it, it's never for anything good. Didn't Goulet forget the lyric?
Goulet was, it was almost a career destroying moment because it was a big boxing.
This was so well covered, and there's no way to know this for sure unless we had America wired up to equipment. But I'd like to know how many people really noticed. I'm going to guess that a lot of people at home, in their homes watching this on television, didn't even realize that she messed up the lyrics.
If there wasn't an internet,
Right.
You would
have
had to wait till tomorrow,
today
actually, to find out about that. I hear this little mistake and give away my tickets and immediately go over to the smartphone. It's just a weird, and I'm guilty.
It's a whole different,
Mike,
you are
guilty.
Yeah.
And I put in Christina Aguilera lyrics. Bam,
boom,
there
boom,
it
boom.
Is.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
There it was immediately. She screwed up the lyrics. Because certain people do watch for that. Yeah.
You go back and you watch something like The Jetsons, and they've got flying cars and moving sidewalks and robots that bring you breakfast. Do you know that in all of our lives, the only thing that's really changed the way we do anything is a phone.
Right.
It's a cell phone.
Right.
I mean, and it wasn't that long ago that if we wanted to make a phone call, we had to have a wire connected to a thing that was connected to a wire.
Well, and now,
now we're finding out how she screwed up by our telephone.
With the smartphone, it's like bing, bang, boom.
Yeah,
I immediately
so
find
amazing.
Out that.
Internet.
So she messed it up. You know, when I talk about it being the dumbest day, it is. I feel so. The Super Bowl, more than any other sporting event, makes me feel so manipulated.
Well,
I feel so
yeah.
friggin' played when I'm watching that, you know? And it's like watching the pregame, some of the pregame hype, and I watch, there's this moment with all the Dallas Cowboys on the dais together, and you got Jerry Jones, Jimmy Johnson, Troy Aikman, Michael Irvin, and I wanted to barf.
Yeah.
And they're all talking about how great they were when they won the Super Bowl. And it's like, I know, listen, and a line that I had, it was either on air or off the air today, I forgot where I said it, where I was watching the presentation of the trophy, and you know, I think my line was, I really wish that they'd give them a little more credit. I mean, really?
Yeah.
God almighty.
I understand what you say about feeling manipulated. I had it on in the background. And first of all, why do I even have the pregame on in the background? Because I don't care. But I'm told from all corners I have to do
it's
this.
Important.
And I look and I see Jerry Jones and Jimmy Johnson. And
Michael
Irvin. And he says, you know, I've known him for 50 years. I'd sell insurance with him if I thought I was a chance to work together. And we built the Cowboys.
I know.
And he just wanted, I want to kick. There's nothing I love more than my television, and I wanted to kick it.
And to hear Jimmy Johnson say to this multi-billionaire, you know, I'm proud of you. It's just, and then they hug, and it's like, oh,
disgusting.
God, it made me want to retch. It really did. The whole thing, maybe it's because it was in Dallas. Maybe it's because it was two teams that I really could give a rat's ass about.
$1.2 billion stadium.
You know, maybe it's because, you know, it just was what it was. The commercials, the hype, and everything like that. I just think it's overkill. And then the commercials that now have become this lazy TV producer's anthem to cover their ass and say, here's what we have because we don't have to work and really do any real news story about anything.
And the commercial hype now starts Tuesday the previous week. You know, there was a certain value when you had to watch the Super Bowl to see the commercials.
Exactly.
And now you don't because they're all on TV.
And they're all safe now because there's nothing really innovative ever.
Well, it's all about the big television money and the real people, the regular Americans who are at home or, you know, having their own Super Bowl parties in their own homes watching this are footing the bill for this and getting a lot of enjoyment out of it. But it is all about the television. It's all about the rich people who can afford to buy tickets to go to the game.
Got a math problem for you. You can either do it now or do it later, but here's you like doing you like ciphering.
Go ahead.
Let me give you this one here.
Ciphering.
They talk about 3 million for a 30-second.
I think it's 3.2, right?
Mm-hmm. It's 3 million.
Round it off to
say 3 million. Okay.
3 million. About how many spots ran during the Super Bowl?
Oh my!
Oh,
and
a lot.
And then you take that and let's be generous. Let's take
3 million times a lot.
Let's take 10% off that total.
Okay, we'll reduce it by 10.
And say. Fix the recession.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. Oh, you could.
You could.
You could.
Okay. Absolutely. I think that there are. I think there are like maybe 5 commercial breaks per quarter. Is that about right, RJ? Because it's contingent on scoring and TV timeouts. Mm-hmm. Let's say 5. That's 90 seconds of spots each. So that's 3 times 5. That's 15 spots per quarter. times 60. Now I'm not just. Now by this point, we're talking.
You know it's broken down somewhere.
So that's 60.
I'm trying to find it.
But the thing is that this won't count
Put
stuff
in
halftime.
Total amount spent on commercials.
100. I'm getting just within the game. This doesn't count halftime, pre or post. Right. That's $180 million.
Wow. $180 million.
Right. Yeah.
Right.
For one game.
Oh, I'm sorry, 162, because we were going to give them a 10% discount.
And so, yeah, well, I mean, well, it boggles the mind.
It does.
Listen, we're going to take a break. When we come back, more Super Bowl chat. Also,
more math
a letter from a hot spot in the world. And also a letter from a very nice lady who drops things off at this house on a regular basis.
Yeah, what's up with that?
We'll be right back. Welcome back to MikeO'MaraShow.com. Our second segment is brought to you by ProFlowers.com. Mm-hmm. Valentine's Day a week away. Valentine's Day is this coming Is it Sunday?
It's Monday. It's this.
Because, you know,
why
what?
Why does it say Valentine's Day is this Sunday?
Well, because that's last year's copy, and I didn't correct that word. My apologies.
I'm surprised spellcheck didn't catch that.
Boy, is my face and Valentine red.
Oh. I would have, it's not like you stayed late at the Super Bowl party.
That's true.
Ooh. Anyway, but there's still time to get on.
But I was there
delivery.
Early. So.
Yeah. This week, choose your savings. I wasn't going to bust your balls until then. By clicking the Pro Flowers banner at the top of MikeO'MaraShow.com. Flowers, candy, gifts at great discounts. You're going to do it anyway, so click on the Pro Flowers ad at MikeO'MaraShow.com. It says that, I believe statistics show, these flowers are going to be purchased probably right over the weekend, like a day before Valentine's Day. So remember us, please, when you're getting your flowers and you go, oh, I haven't done that yet, right. Go to our website and click on Pro Flowers. That helps the show enormously.
So
how are we doing with Pro Flowers so far?
Very well. Everyone's getting busy on our
Everybody's
website.
Everybody's doing it. You all are so great the way you support the show
Thank
with
you.
That. So very I appreciate excited. That. Before we get to our very interesting letter that I want to share with everybody that Buzz gave me this morning.
Is that Super Friends Stationery?
It is.
This is
Super Friends. Yep.
Wow. Hi guys. This comes to us from Kendall is her
Kendall,
name,
yes.
I believe.
She's been here before.
And, she says, hi guys. I've left you apple cider twice before, but this was what I was actually looking for. And she left us a bottle of apple juice, Honeycrisp apple juice.
Ah, well,
I've loved
the cider.
Apple juice.
I haven't wrapped my tonsils around it yet, but I'm looking forward to it.
Cider has been great.
I found it online at a place in Washington State, called them, and they wouldn't sell it to me, but they were nice enough to ship me a promo bottle for free. Hope it's good after all that. But you scared the Buzz, I'm sorry. You scared the crap out of me, and I cried like a baby for you. So glad you are okay. Oscar, no woman should date you on a bet, but I'm really pulling for your dad. Hope all stays well.
That's very nice.
Rob, I used to not like you, but you have somehow completely changed my mind. But enough with the... Oh, man, it's tough to read. Enough with the... Something music already.
Probably Queenie music or something.
What is that?
What is this word?
What does that say?
It doesn't have a dollar sign. He can't make it out.
I have no idea.
Handwritten by Kendall. We're near the bottom of the page.
I'm curious.
Mick music. Nick, show it to him. Show it to him. Jesus Christ.
It's
sometimes these letters are.
We'll send this down to the lab and have it analyzed.
Kendall likes to handwrite, and that's
but enough with the Ronick music already.
That's what it looks like, Ronick.
Oh, the Ronick music.
Oh,
thank you.
Okay, that makes sense.
Thank you.
Enough with the Ronick music.
Thank you.
You know what? I agree.
Me too.
That Ronick music.
Enough with the Ronick music.
The thing is, the music has sort of become a tradition.
Mike, I wouldn't want to get in. I'm really having trouble with this. Let me put it. Ah, light. There we go. I wouldn't want to get in the way of your ice cream cone, but I also want you to live.
Oh, okay.
Chewing gum helps keep you awake while driving. Try it. I will try that, Kendall. And that's
very
nice.
Try Nicorette, Mike.
And thanks to Kendall. That was very nice of her to do that.
Thank you
for
all the gifts, Kendall. Thank you.
Thank you.
That cider rocks.
Our next letter is very interesting. This comes from a guy named Ali. And he writes, Dear Mike O'Mara Show, I've been hooked on the show for months now, having heard every single episode from 50 onwards. And since you probably heard every single compliment I can think of, I'll just skip to the complaints.
Oh, good.
Thank you.
Nice.
Thank you, Ali.
Over the past few days, you've been discussing the events in Egypt, the country I was born in and I'm currently living in, as they've been transpiring. All right. Let me see if I can read that correctly. Over the past few days, you've been discussing the events in Egypt, the country I was born and am currently living in. Mm-hmm. Proper reading right there.
Yes, not as, proper writing, though.
As they've been transpiring. And while I'm used to you talking about the headlines in the U.S. and in other countries, it hit much more close to home when you were talking about the protests.
Sure.
My problem with how a lot of foreigners treat our current situation is that they see this potential revolution as a good thing, when it's really quite the opposite. Hmm. My family, friends, and I have been staying home because of the curfew that starts at 5 o'clock for the past 2 weeks now. At night, we and 30 of our neighbors in the building have to stand outside with melee weapons and block the streets, wow, fearing that looters may come our way. And that's just our district. In the more traffic heavy areas like Tahrir Square, prisoners are breaking free, museums mm-hmm. are being attacked, mm-hmm. shopping malls and police stations are lit on fire, yeah, etc. Not to mention the countless that have been wounded or even killed. Gentlemen, the perpetrators of these horrible acts are the demonstrators themselves. The Egyptian pound has plummeted, all the shops have closed, and these ignorant people insist on Hosni Mubarak's resignation and changing the constitution, when none of the protesters actually agree on what to do after all is said and done. Probably and most true. Haven't even read the constitution. Democrats and violent Islamists who are protesting together now would wage a civil war over who will be in power, mm-hmm. and that won't be like it is now, army versus civilians, where everyone knows they lose. It will be civilian versus civilian, where everyone seems to think they have a fighting chance. Yes, our government is corrupt, and yes, last weekend's demonstration may have rescued future generations from the same kind of corruption.
Good.
But enough is enough. Hosni has already created a new government last week, one that definitely is better than the previous and has already addressed some of the most important issues in our country. In the end, people are killing each other in the streets over an administration that will end in 6 months, which will be followed by an election in September. What they don't see is that burning the nation to the ground until then won't make it any easier for the next administration. Also, two more things. The protesters people here are calling pro-Mubarak are actually mostly those who want the fear and rampage caused by the protesters to stop. I'm sorry if this message is too long for the mailbag. No, it's not. I'm interested by it. But I hope you guys will read this off air and consider it next time you discuss Egypt, if ever. Nope, we're reading it on air because I think it's interesting. P.S. Don't trust anything Al Jazeera says. We've been watching that channel lie through teeth during all of this ordeal. And for what? To build a country ready to fight Israel? Is that what they think the Egyptian people need right now? War? Thank you for your time. That's from Ali. Oh, and one more thing. The audio Rob has been playing is littered with Arabic curse words, one of which is derogatory towards homosexuals. Just thought I'd let you know.
What audio? Which audio is that?
I have no idea.
I don't know either.
I'm not sure.
Well, I will definitely stop that audio.
Yep.
That's whichever one it was.
Well, no, I mean, you play when you play. I mean, that's you're not going to edit yourself for that. But no. You know what? That's a point of view. Am I over there? No. Mm-hmm. Do a lot of people, and the way it's been reported, indicate that these pro-Mubarak demonstrators might be hired guns? Mm-hmm. They say that. Who knows? It's tough to, you know, look at those pictures of those guys riding through town on camels and, you know, seeing what they're all about and striking people down.
But amazing, though, that, I mean, and we're open to all viewpoints, and that boils down, that's a viewpoint, but that's a guy who's there. But how weird is it? How great is it? How weird is it that a guy from Egypt is listening to us?
I know.
Very interesting.
Living through that.
I know, and it's great to hear these different points of view. I will add that business is starting to get back to normal, as opposed to when he wrote that letter. Things have changed in the last few days.
Yep.
And the protests have simmered down. Things are getting a little bit more stable there. We hope that it heads that way. A lot of people who want change in Egypt are concerned that the protests are dying down because they're afraid their cause will be lost.
Well, one thing that he said that I've not seen in any other news coverage is very interesting. He's saying that the pro-Mubarak stuff is not really pro-Mubarak, it's anti-riot. And you know what? And that's a very valid point.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know.
If that is the way, I mean,
that's his interpretation of it. He may be right.
If I was over there, I think the riot itself would be the scariest aspect of it.
Sure.
That might be the side that I would fall down on.
One of the things that I heard, and we've heard this, you reported this, and we've had this again and again and again. You hear that the percentage of, you know, the population in the country, small when you consider even putting 1 million people in this square, comparatively, it is not the number that necessarily represents all of Egypt.
Right.
But most of Egypt, they're huddling in their homes and they're wanting this thing to boil over. But there's movement with the government too, where you're going to see some change. You know, we all wish those people the very best over there. There's some obviously very well-educated people that are sensitive, so our thoughts and our prayers go out to them.
We just
we'll
want them
happens.
To be happy and safe.
Thank you for writing, Ali.
And nobody wants to see another Iran, obviously. No, you don't want to see that situation. So that was kind of interesting
very
about
enlightening,
Egypt.
I thought.
And when somebody, it wasn't really a complaint letter. It was I don't know how we were spinning it, whether, you know, we were, I don't know.
Well,
I think
the vibe that he's gotten, and I see this, I think there's a vibe in this country that we've kind of been rooting for the protesters because we thought that they were campaigning for freedom and democracy, so we supported that in spite of the damage that's been done to priceless artifacts in museums and to human lives.
Don't you think, though, when you see something like this, that the guys that are there day in, day out in the street, they don't have a gig.
Right.
Yeah. They're out there, the guys
that
are
the problem.
And either that's, sometimes that's by choice, sometimes that's not.
The economy's very bad. A lot of them not by choice.
Right, not by choice.
That's why they're
there. The people that are protesting one time worked for CBS, Mike.
That's a lot of the problem.
That's right.
Oh, how about that S-storm over at CBS, you know?
Which one?
Yeah.
Well,
exactly.
There's an S-storm with the way they handled the Snyder interview. Dan Snyder, you know, who sued the city paper, and they're saying that, Oscar's partner, LeVar, apparently was too easy on Snyder, and apparently there's a lot of consternation about that, they were giving Snyder, they were doing an interview. I did not hear it, and I plan to listen to it. I haven't heard it, that they gave him too much. They had an opportunity to grill this guy, the owner of the Redskins here in Washington, D.C., who's made a bunch of mistakes and then sued the guy that basically
wrote about them.
Wrote in a very funny way about his mistakes, and he's suing the guy, and they had the owner sit down, and they kissed his ass too much. That's what I've heard.
The funny thing is I can't believe I missed the interview because I listen to WJFK
constantly.
Yeah, right. All the time. Right. Somehow it slips through the cracks, but I like the CBS Radio Corporation. And I like WJFK, and I like Dan Snyder. So I hope everybody comes out of this
one.
Yeah, me too.
It would have gone swimmingly. all right, so before we get on to the dumbest day, we cover that, the dumbest day in America, Super Bowl
Did you
Sunday.
Want the numbers for the advertising?
Yeah, I'd love to hear the numbers as far as how much total
Rebo knew.
So last year was a record with advertising. They did $106.5 million last year.
Okay. It's all right.
It's estimated that they did over $210 million this year.
Wow.
$210 million.
Wow.
Okay, now...
RJ wants to say something. Yes, RJ.
You know, you have to remember...
Thank you, RJ. Broadcaster.
You know...
I should do that first.
I know, because you're not... Yes, that's a little... See, just every day... Not that I care, because you're not a trainer, nor will I ever want you to be a regular contributor.
Thank you.
But you do... The throat clear...
You gotta do the throat thing.
Yeah, when you're sitting there and you're thinking, say, for example, you're going, I might want to comment on this. I might even raise my hand. Right about then, you go... Yeah! So what were you going to say?
104,000 people at $1,000 a ticket. Put that number to math.
Add that to it. Yeah.
That's 104 million.
How about those people that they screwed?
Yeah.
People where they had the
I'm
going to
talk about that
ticket.
In the audio vault.
Good.
I have it in the news as well.
Oh, good.
Here's
well,
I'll let you do it.
No.
Well, I won't say anything.
We'll cover it.
I'll tease both Buzz and Rob. Both have a material about people going down there and saying, hey, this ticket's crap.
I think we should all do it.
Yeah. Ain't worth the paper it's writ on.
You know, another number with money here is Black Eyed Peas. Oscar and I were talking about this. Do you guys have any guesses how much they made for last night's performance?
So
they were paid?
Well,
I always thought that was kind of like promoting
they get paid.
Yeah, you hit the nail on the head. They do it for absolutely free.
Really?
But the NFL
has to budget the spectacle, right?
Well, yeah,
right.
But they don't get paid to do it.
Wow.
What they do is they get all the promotion from iTunes. You know, people end up going on it. I think Tom Petty made something like $2 billion after
just on sales. Wow.
On sales on iTunes.
Unbelievable. By the way, Bill Maher had a great joke, I thought, Friday in his monologue. He closed his monologue by saying, after the Super Bowl, a brand new episode of Glee. He said, great, just what we need, a homoerotic spectacle followed by an episode of Glee.
Okay, that's good stuff.
If Ronick's math holds true of 210 million, that means for 8 hours of coverage, and I'm giving them for Super Bowl coverage from 3 p.m. until 11 p.m. I know that I'm a little bit off.
Right.
The NFL made the revenue was $437,500 a minute.
Oh, wow.
Which translates
half
to
a minute.
$7,292 a second. A second. Wow. That's nearly $7,300 a second.
Good Lord.
That's a lot of money.
It's astonishing.
But it Joe Buck is worth it.
You're talking dirty to me right now.
I know.
Mark is aroused.
Mark can't stand up.
So I went on my Facebook page, and incidentally, you know, it's funny, Rob will write on his Facebook page, you know, put the berries in the pie, and he'll get 700 people that'll say
put
something.
Put the berries in the pie.
Legendary berry post.
I put a post up about, like, serve, you know, go to the serve.gov, you know, and I get, like, four people like this.
Yeah, I know. Just, no, I know.
It's really interesting how people
I'd like
are
to
on
think
Facebook.
That they're going to the site instead okay. of commenting.
All right, I just wonder. That's what happened. I wonder so, because I worry about it. I want people to do that. So I go to the movies on Friday night, take the family out, and Daddy finally is getting to see the movie he wants to go see. I wanted to see True Grit for weeks and weeks.
Were the girls pulling for Roommate?
A cowboy picture.
The new movie about the psycho? Of course they were.
Yeah, okay. or the one that we vetoed, both my ex and I vetoed for Catherine going to see No Strings Attached, rated R.
Right.
No, not Natalie Portman.
No one needs to see that film.
Nobody needs to see that. Not that spectacle.
No, we're not looking at it.
So True Grit, I get my way, and we go to see True Grit. And at the end, it was so funny. At the end of the movie, I look at Carla, and Carla gives me a look like this.
No.
She knows what you're going to say.
Then I look down at Catherine, and Catherine's looking back at Carla going, wow. And Elizabeth and I were kind of like, yeah, it was okay. Uh-huh. But man, those Coen brothers, talk about your dismal, depressing. Give me a little bit. Listen, the old Rooster Cogburn with John Wayne, that was kind of a lighthearted romp from a curmudgeon-y old gunfighter.
Pleasant resolution.
This was just nasty. This is from the school of thought.
Too gritty.
This is from the Deadwood school of thought, you know, where everybody in the Old West was going to try to murder you, and you were going to die, you know, a very agonizing, horrible death. And then at the end, but even with all of that, you could have had the movie like that until the end. And I didn't spoiler alert. That's if you don't want to hear the end of True Grit.
Now, people need to know.
I'm going
to
spoil it for you
right
now. The
end of True Grit was three women yelling at Mike O'Mara.
It's going to be a while before I get them all out to a movie again after this.
Boy.
So at the end, though, you know, the whole premise of True Grit is the little 13-year-old girl that hires Rooster Cogburn to go avenge her father who's been murdered.
Is the girl?
That's the story.
Is the girl as good at her performance as you read?
The girl is phenomenal.
Okay,
and
good.
The fact, what I read about this in Entertainment Weekly was that the Coen brothers, when they saw the way this part was written, they, and I think rightly so when you see the movie, they legitimately believed that they might not find any 13-year-old who'd be able to pull it
that
off.
That could handle it.
So she was better than the Darth Vader kid?
Much better. The dialogue was that complex. Uh-huh. And the acting was that complex that I thought I could see it. She's amazing. She's a prodigy.
Mike, she's guilty.
I think as she grows up.
She will be.
She will be a
right now, she
pervert.
Should only be tried as a minor.
She's 13.
But anyway.
When she's 18.
Now, I'm not familiar with the old True Grit.
I
don't know how it is.
John Wayne? Yeah, I don't know.
John Wayne,
I
think John Wayne gets the bad guy and they ride off into the sunset together. This True Grit, they finally get the bad guy, who's played by Josh Brolin. And Josh Brolin in a role that I'm like, why the hell did you do that role, dude? I mean, you were in there, you're in the movie for 15 minutes, and your really character is just kind of a weird.
Well, what's his name? Robert De Niro said when he mentioned Meet the Fockers, he says, we all need to work.
We all need to work. Maybe that's what it was. So at the very end, they get the bad guy.
Sure.
He's dead. And how does the movie end? They kill the bad guy. She falls into a hole, gets bitten by a snake. Rooster Cogburn takes her to the house in the woods where her arm is amputated. Isn't that
good?
Okay, and you would think, well, that's bad. How about a reunion? Well, they do the flash back or flash forward. Now she's an old woman with one arm, and she's going out to find Rooster Cogburn, and I'm like, oh, okay. Well, the amputation, Coen brothers, a little dark with the amputation.
Sure.
You know, we didn't need that, but you know what? If you have a teary kind of reunion, that's going to be a home run. Yeah. I'm going to be real excited.
Although they probably won't hug.
They don't. Do I get my Hollywood ending?
No.
No.
Because you know when she gets to the old Wild West show that Rooster Cogburn's in?
Yeah.
He died 3 days before she got there.
Oh, no.
Nice. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, happy joy. That's it.
Two grits.
And that's it.
Bye-bye. Good night. What? Credits. Roll credits.
Why would you do that?
Right.
That's a no good.
For fun.
That's a no good.
That's a no good. You want a little. And you know
Sorry
what?
Sorry for the spoiler alert. I did say spoiler alert.
You did.
Yeah, all but right, you know what? Good. You invested a lot of time. And is it a yes, long movie?
It's long.
Yeah, of course. You invested a lot of time and emotion. It's long. And you can deal with the quote unquote. True grit.
And I really,
but you want just a little happy at the end.
Right.
And I've reached my pinnacle, my zenith, as it were, with Jeff Bridges with his mouth. You know? With Jeff Bridges with his mouth right now. What? Do you have part of your tongue missing? Because you talk like that sometimes in real life, too. But then I hear the friggin' Hyundai commercials, and you sound like you're okay, but
would it be, would it have been a better movie, Mike, with Beau Bridges?
Always.
How is Matt Damon?
Matt Damon is... It's a weird role.
Yeah.
It's a weird role. But they all kind of have a weird feel.
Yeah, sure.
Like that, Major. Hey, Major. Yeah, man. They all sound like Walter Matthau when he's just speak. Mimsy. Mimsy.
Felix. I think maybe when Jeff Bridges records a TV commercial, there might be more than one take. Because you know what? He's playing now. This is hot on that country singer movie that he
right,
made.
Crazy Heart, which is a great movie.
Yeah, but he's playing, you know what? He's playing grizzled alcoholics now, and it's coming easier and easier.
I know. So, make a, but with that said, now that I've destroyed the movie for you, if you were thinking about going to True Grit, were you planning on going out to see it?
It's one I want to see. Yeah, I thought I did.
Still see it. I'd like to get your impression of it.
Well, I don't know now.
I really screwed it for everybody.
I think it's fine.
We're going to take a break. When we come back, it's the Audio Vault with Mr. Rob Spiewak right after this. Yeah, right, sure. Welcome back to MikeOMaraShow.com.
Felix!
I like this thing. We're going to go up to all the way with this one, ladies and gentlemen. Taking it back to the 1970s Chicago on the Mike O'Mara Show.com.
I do believe in
nice.
Did you get any positive feedback on your drumming?
Yeah.
Oh,
I did, too.
Oh, yeah.
And I want to see you do this again in the near future.
I like doing it.
It sounded great. Great mix.
It really did work out.
Yeah, more positive, you know, than I think. And it came out okay. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we got him here. We might as well use him occasionally.
Maybe we'll get everybody. We'll have a jam session one day.
I'll bring my jug.
Get everybody. Play the harmonica.
Tambourine.
And the kazoo. Rob's Magic Audio Vault is brought to you by the Mike O'Mara Show Animated Series.
Yeah.
And download the Strine Studios cartoons each month for just $1.99. I laugh because I'm thinking about these cartoons. These are so funny. With you dancing.
New one out tomorrow. It's hilarious.
I got a question.
Yeah.
Can you give me like a... I need to have like a tutorial with you, Ronick, on how to negotiate my own website.
Same here. I did this. Same I had the same problem. My sister-in-law came over, and I said she was talking about
the. I
want to
show you the cartoon.
She was talking about the Ricky Gervais cartoon.
Yes,
right.
And I said, "Oh, I want to show you ours."
Yeah.
And all I could find is the one about shaving, and that's not what you want to show your
sister-in-law. No.
I said,
however, I showed it to Carla.
Yeah.
Because that's the only one I could get.
Right.
And your reaction to that when you're like, "Oh no!"
Yeah.
And the eyes go. That one is.
I said, Michelle, I want to apologize about the content, but notice how funny it is when we blink.
Oh, it's
that's
hysterical.
That's what I'm trying to explain to her. Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah,
we need
to know how to. And I know you mailed me a password. I just don't know where I put it.
Okay.
So we're talking about being able to see our own cartoons.
We'd like that.
Apparently, but we have to pay
see
again.
Them. You can download the Strine Studios cartoons each month for just $1.99. That's not $199.
No.
We don't charge Super Bowl rates here. That's $1.99, which I think it. 99 cent. 99 cent. Which is a delightful bargain.
Change back on a $2 bill.
The latest episode is available. And he's wound up, isn't he?
Every bit
is
odd.
He's giving it. He's gonna get in his car and his head is going to fall forward, and it's going to hit the steering wheel.
Yeah, I look like an intern for this show.
But what's nice, you know what? Uh-huh. He's here. Anyway, the latest episode is available tomorrow. The Mike O'Mara Show animated series, only at MikeOMaraShow.com.
Can I say two things? You can actually see a little preview of it on Facebook and also on our website and on YouTube. But the other thing I wanted to say is we've got new hoodies.
That's true.
Yeah, and they are great.
True. Yeah.
Like the ones Mark is wearing. Please go get our hoodies right now. They are very, very
good. The only bad thing about the hoodie is that it covers this up.
There
that's
showing the colors today. Yeah. That's a good thing. Yeah. Get the brand new hoodie online and available at the merchandise section of MikeOMaraShow.com.
They're great.
There are commercials. Let's open up the audio vault for today. This is Monday.
Yes.
Feb 7, 2011.
You know, I was always... It's not... nice the way the Super Bowl goes from network to network to network. Mm-hmm. And Fox had it this year. And, you know, Fox is they're a little more zesty in their coverage. Did you notice how dirty the coverage was?
No, it is dirty.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
I thought they might have been way
subtle. I must have missed it.
I know Jim Nantz wouldn't say stuff like that. Must have missed
it. Welcome to Super Bowl 45.
Now in that bone formation, Rodgers goes down in the arms of Harrison.
I agree. We saw the legs contact each other. He should never have gotten sucked inside like he did. Roethlisberger got it up. It's going to get awfully rough on that back end. He wants to jump it, and you're going to see him going to get in behind it. He cleans it up.
Matthews and Roethlisberger come together.
You know, nice thought. Sometimes you can sneak it in through the back. You want to get down.
Shocking, really.
I like the one where somebody and Roethlisberger come together.
Exactly.
That's nice.
Also, I think what's funny is, and it was hard to watch the game in a bar setting and catch all the details, mm-hmm, because there's a lot of stuff. And besides, I didn't even get to see halftime because I was behind the bar.
Right.
However, in the coverage that I've read today, apparently the most memorable moment right up there with the actual end of the game, mm-hmm, was Cameron Diaz feeding popcorn to Alex Rodriguez.
And let me tell you, even in a crowd bar, I remembered that. I saw that. I'm like, because everybody, it's kind of grainy and you're, mm-hmm, trying to see it.
Yep.
Oh, it's A-Rod.
Anyway,
A-Rod,
I thought,
you scumbag. Yankee prick.
I do like Joe Buck, and I thought he handled it rather well.
Alex Rodriguez, Cameron Diaz. Sure, Alex is thrilled we just put the camera on him at that moment, being fed popcorn.
I'd be all right with it.
Now, there's lots and lots of complaints today about the sound mix of the halftime show, mm-hmm, and I have to say I did not hear it.
The reviews of the Black Eyed Peas are coming in, and they are overwhelmingly negative.
Right.
That the Black Eyed Peas were tentative. She had a technical issue at the beginning.
Yes.
And that, you know, people just said they seemed like they weren't energetic.
A little stiff.
Well,
I liked the show. I loved them, but it was a little stiff. I'm not surprised in an event like this.
Well, there was so much technical stuff going on. How does a four-person band? Really?
Yes, four.
How does four people fill that space with electric dancing? Right. You can't do it. But also, if you think about it, there is so much processing on Will I Am.
Too much.
That
auto-tune.
They might as well just play the record and let them jump around. Right. This is not a live performance.
Right. Didn't have Fergie's mic up.
But you know what? With all that said, I still love her as an artist. I think, mm-hmm, she's
very fun.
She has the chops. And more than a lot of other artists do.
Yeah, and you know, sure, and she's okay with peeing herself on stage. I think that's nice.
But now that you're replaying it, it's like, it sucks. It did, really.
Spectacle. Yeah. That's what it was. It was spectacle.
And I hate halftime shows. Dumbing of America. Bring out 40 people in LED suits. F you. To what end?
To
promote Tron.
Has there been a good one?
No.
I can't.
They sucked when they were up with friggin' people.
I can remember that. Prince was pretty good.
What about Michael Jackson? Didn't he do it?
Janet Jackson.
No, but I think Michael did it.
I don't know
that
Michael ever did it, did he?
Janet Jackson ruined my career.
That's right. All of our careers.
Right.
Here we are. It's nice to be here, though,
Thank you.
Did you watch any of the... I know you were at the Green Turtle. Did you get to watch any of Obama with Bill O'Reilly?
I watched a lot of it, actually, and I was pretty impressed with both of them. I thought O'Reilly kept it down to a dull roar.
Pretty much.
Although he loves to interrupt.
Well, he did some taunting.
You know what he is? Yeah. He's an entertainer, that O'Reilly. And
yeah,
I think he knows his place.
But you know what? I give props to O'Reilly for the way he handled it. And Obama, props for the way
but
he handled it.
But you know, Obama, even he got into the theme of Fox being a little more dirty, I think.
Really? He wears blue as well?
What happens is I schmooze with everybody when they come.
See, what's up with that?
Okay.
Now you're reaching.
That was a real stretch right there.
I'm sorry. I must
have
hit the wrong
button.
All right,
give us one or two more, Rob.
Okay. Did you watch Saturday Night Live?
I did
not get a chance to see Wayne and Garth.
What a wonderful trip down memory lane. And the thing to me, it was worthwhile because they opened with this sketch and they used the original open and used Phil Hartman's voice.
Wow.
I like that. So here was the cold open at 11:35, I guess, Saturday night.
You are watching Cable 10, Aurora, Illinois Community Access Channel.
It's 10:30. It's time to party. I'm your excellent host, Wayne Campbell. With me, as always, is Garth.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. So, Garth, what's been going on?
Well, as you may remember, the last time you saw me, I got pubes.
Good work, my friend.
What's been going on with you, Wayne?
Well, last month, strangely enough, a monkey literally flew out of my butt.
No way.
Wait.
No way.
Wait. Okay, that was fun. Okay.
And the whole day was made worthwhile to me just to see John Lovitz take the stage. I mean, and what did Lovitz do?
Really?
They sang a song, a very lengthy, not very funny song, okay, about how their cast of Saturday Night Live was the best ever. Continually making digs at the current cast.
Okay.
But just to see Lovitz take the stage is great.
Yeah. Okay.
Come out and say, thank you. And my last thing, I know you, like me, Mike, you get excited when you see Larry King wearing jeans.
I love Larry King wearing jeans.
And so let us close with this. Where do you think Larry King gets his jeans?
I think I know.
I think you'll like this.
He was at my house for dinner one night, and he says to me, how can you wear those jeans?
He's talking about Ryan Seacrest.
Oh.
How would you like to be? How would you like to be at Larry's house for dinner with Ryan Seacrest?
Hey-ho!
Yuck.
He was at my house for dinner one night, and he says to me, how can you wear those jeans? I said, what's wrong with my jeans?
Old man.
They're like $29 jeans.
What kind of jeans?
Where you have a lot of room beneath the crotch. You know, like overalls. So he says, I don't like those. You got to wear sharp jeans. And since then, this is like 7 years now, he's been my jean supplier. He sends me jeans.
Ryan Seacrest sends you jeans?
Correct. They even put holes on for suspenders, right? That's Ryan Seacrest.
Wait, those are Ryan Seacrest jeans?
No, he buys them, I guess. What do you mean? They're not from his body.
Maybe he takes them off at night, puts them in a FedEx envelope, and you get it.
Am I the only one whose skin is crawling
right now?
Creepy. That is so horrible.
That is disgusting.
That is your magic audio, Boston. Hey.
We'll take a break and come back with news and Buzz Burbank right after this, everybody. Welcome back to Mike O'Mara Show. I like it when I look at Buzz. At the same time, we see if we know the music, and Buzz kind of looks at me and goes, I have no idea.
I don't know.
I think from 1970, Yellow River by Christy.
Jesus, what are you trying to do? I know we only have two affiliates. You're trying to lose them?
I play this on KCJJ all the time, and the crowd goes wild.
Oh, I bet it does. Hi, Steve.
Hi, Steve.
I went to Steve's website. And who does Steve look like?
Albert Einstein.
When he was young.
Oh, when he's young.
I'm trying to think who he looks like.
There's so many young, good-looking people that he can be compared
to. Wild hair.
Yeah, he's got a crazy look, doesn't he?
He does have a crazy look.
You know what?
Crazier the younger he looks.
Poor Tommy Lang drove all the way and did all that Super Bowl BS to watch the Steelers lose.
Really?
Yeah.
Is he a big Steelers fan?
Huge Steelers
Tommy
fan.
Lang, Tommy Lang, I'll see you in hell.
It'll be a long ride back, Tom.
All right, let's get Mr. Burbank in here. It's time for the news and Buzz. Take it away, Buzz.
Thank you, Mike. Brought to you today by Dr. Bruce Friedman. Looking younger is easier than you think, and now you can qualify for special deals on all kinds of services.
Hi, Dana.
With Dr. Friedman's newsletter. To sign up, just click his ad at MikeOMaraShow.com. Explore the rest of the website, too, and tell a friend, Dr. Bruce Friedman.
Yay!
Thank you. Anyone who pays hundreds, even, or can afford to pay hundreds, even thousands of dollars for a Super Bowl ticket and then get stuck in less than ideal seats does not deserve our sympathy, especially since all 400 of them get triple their money back, so we'll skip that story.
That's a good way of doing
it.
But
you know
like
what?
That.
If this means a lot to you, and I will equate it to, say, maybe going out of town to see a big concert that means a lot to you, because
right.
I could probably wrap my head around that, but then you're paying money for airfare,
uh-huh,
you're paying money for a hotel, you've probably taken some time off
but
work.
But what Mr. Burbank's point is that these people are privileged to start out with.
Clearly,
so,
they are.
Yes, they're screwed.
Not even the thing you save for a long time, because we're talking about thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars here.
I still think that the NFL really, really screwed these people. I feel a little bad for these people.
I see both points of view that, yes, you're right. NFL did screw them.
Yes.
And yes, you're right. Who gives a rat's ass?
True. Yeah. And let me amend my statement.
Right. Because they're wealthy. Worry about the people that are having trouble
making
their mortgage payment
as
opposed to the people that, hey, we're in Dallas and we're having a fantastic time buying $600 t-shirts.
Let me amend my statement. Jerry Jones.
Buy a nice 40.
$47.95
hoodie.
Reasonable. Very nice.
Thank you.
It was Jones that screwed
them. This reminds me of when Oscar posted on his Facebook page about his accident. Everyone was giving him a hard time because he said, It was the BMW, not the Audi.
That's true.
We can report that Dallas Cowboys owner Jerry Jones failed in his attempt to beat Super Bowl attendance records. And cool. We can report
that's good
that one of the never miss a Super Bowl guys from that Visa commercial missed the Super Bowl.
What?
Yeah.
No way.
It's like a curse. It's like the Sports Illustrated curse. Yeah.
Why? Do they say why?
Yeah. 79-year-old Robert Cook was instead in the hospital.
I'm
sorry.
And depressed.
I'm wow.
Sorry.
Depressed about missing his first Super Bowl since 1967.
Wow. I mean,
especially.
I'm sorry. How do you not laugh at that? I'm sorry.
Since he's from Wisconsin and a Packers fan.
Oh. He's in a new club now, Mike.
You're laughing.
I'm laughing.
That's so serious.
It is very serious.
Heavy business. He missed the 45th Super Bowl.
I know, and it was his Packers. It was his team.
Yeah. He's in a new club now, Mike. Never miss an antibiotic.
No. Listen, as somebody who's been in a hospital, I feel badly for the guy.
I feel badly for him, too. It's just they were on that commercial for so long.
They really pounded it in.
You know, the guys are, I've missed my daughter's weddings. I haven't get, you know, it's like, okay, you selfish hump.
How about the other three? You're probably in Dallas. What a prick.
I know. Hey, we finally get a TV commercial. Now we won't have another one next year. You know what it speaks to? It speaks to the whole thing with the NFL is excess and quantity and collecting. And, you know, RJ, I know you hate it when I talk this way about the NFL, but that's all it's about, you know. Hey, get 57 channels of your favorite games. You'll be able to see the jocks of the guys that are running out of and get more and get more. I mean, we've been to every Super Bowl. We've been to every, well, what team do you for? What? It doesn't matter. We go to every one.
All of them.
Yeah.
All of them.
Nothing exceeds like excess.
I mean, really, if you're a diehard fan of Pittsburgh.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And then I'm compelled, okay? Say you do save up, and you're a guy that grows up in Pittsburgh.
Regular guy.
And you want to go see your Steelers win a championship.
You scrape and save.
See your you say, then that's a compelling. So not, we go to everyone because we're just such dinks.
That's what we do.
Because we can afford
it. I mean, how many conversations do you think those, excuse, I'm going to use a word here. It's the end of the show.
Yeah. All right, I tell you what, Mike, you say it, and then I'll write down the time code.
Thank
and then
you.
When we post the show, I'll bleep it.
How many of these probably sat there and had conversations with people in their families that had major events going
right.
on, deaths, weddings, and everything. Yeah. Where these
real
dicks
things.
Were like, ugh, I got to go to the game. You know, it's like it's tribute to self.
Yeah.
It's self-aggrandizement. Man, we're going to make them. Why are they famous? They're famous because it's the friggin' NFL.
Yeah.
If it was anything else, they probably would be scorned.
What if they went to What if they went to every Golden Globes presentation?
I hate.
No one would care.
I hate to be bitter because people are going to say, "Mike, you're all bitter."
We
about
are bitter.
No, but it's to me.
You're damn different. Right. We're bitter.
I get completely toasty on the goddamn hype.
There is a little hype.
I really do. And then the game's over. It's like, okay, bye.
Yeah.
See you next year.
Back to work.
We're not.
What's that?
With that lockout.
We'll see him next year. We'll see what happens, you know?
Yeah.
Well, I hope he gets better.
Me too, Rob.
You mentioned Bill O'Reilly interviewing the president before the show.
Sure.
Not newsman star of the Fox Not News Channel tried to get Obama to admit he'd be paying more attention to his guests than to the game, but Obama insisted he's a fan who really would be watching. O'Reilly also taunted the president a bit about recent court rulings against the health care reform law, but Obama told O'Reilly that he's telling business leaders today that parts of the reform bill must remain in place, including the provisions about pre-existing conditions.
Mm, we'll see what happens.
There's been another mass shooting. This time, it happened at a party at a frat house off campus in Youngstown, Ohio. One person was killed. 11 others were wounded, apparently by two gunmen. Mm. One of the victims, a 17-year-old, was in critical condition this morning, and the names of the alleged shooters had not yet been released.
Delightful. Always nice to start the week with that kind
more
of
more guns. Mm-hmm. This is your captain freaking. An air traffic control supervisor in New York says something really bad is going to happen if air traffic controllers don't start doing their jobs better. Complaints filed with the FAA claim that some controllers are working only 3 hours of their 8-hour shifts, and while on duty, chatting, texting, and watching movies. The report came out last month, just 3 days before a near collision between an American Airlines jet and two military cargo planes over the Atlantic that we just learned about on Friday. The supervisor who blew the whistle says he was demoted for calling out these problems which he says are just the tip of the iceberg.
Well, good that he's doing this, and let's continue to maintain vigilance on this story, because who doesn't get freaked out by that? I know a lot of air traffic controllers. I hang out with these guys. There's a major center up in
Leesburg. You visit them in the tower, don't you?
I wish I never have, but I mean, I talk to these guys, and I'm more acquaintances with them, but I pick their brains when I get a chance, and there is an area right around Washington, D.C., I think they might call it the Neck, and it's where they funnel a lot of the traffic into the New York City, Boston corridor, and man, oh man, you don't want to hear these guys talk about that.
Really?
It's busy up there.
It gets very hairy.
It's so horrifying, and I've met these guys. You've had them out to certain events and stuff, and when they start talking like that, I excuse myself.
I don't
want to hear about it, because it's flipping horrifying.
It freaks out. It freaks you out. Another thing, if you really want to get a feel for it, go out to an airport at an evening, like Dulles Airport here in Washington, D.C.
As you and I always do.
A nice clear evening where it's a you know beautiful, clear nighttime sky, and just take a look.
Right.
Take a look, and you'll see 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8.
One right after another.
Stacked up,
amazing.
Whatever. It's just like a highway up
there.
I go to Dulles for the food.
Yum, yum.
Money, like politics, can also make for strange bedfellows. A new survey says 38% of couples planning to divorce or separate in the past few years have stayed together because of the recession.
Tell me about it.
The survey. Now, this is interesting,
Thanks,
too.
CBS.
The survey also shows that 29% of these couples say the recession has actually made their marriage stronger. Only 13% say things at home have gotten worse. So they've been forced to stay together by the economy, and then things kind of worked out.
Yeah, I had an up and down weekend with my lady this weekend.
How come?
I don't know. I woke up in a great mood on Saturday.
Can I just blame February?
I don't know.
I that's what I'm going to blame it on.
You two seem delightful and delighted on Sunday night.
Yeah. I woke up on Saturday morning with my daughters here in the house, and I'd seen the movie with all of them. Maybe it's because the movie was
that might
fun.
Be it.
Couldn't help.
But I sat there, and this is the truth. And here's pull back the curtain just a little bit. I sat down in the theater, and I have Elizabeth and Catherine on my right, and I have Carla on my left. And I'm sitting there in the movie theater, and I lean over to Carla, and I said, "This is it right here." I said, "This is right now. This is a moment where I'm absolutely the happiest that I ever am going away. When I'm with the four of them, you know, the three of them, I should say, when I'm with the three of them all the time, that's my happiest moment.
I understand that. That's
great.
But if it goes south a little bit, I can get very easily annoyed.
Well, yeah, because you're savoring the moment.
I'm savoring the moment. I don't like anybody to
destroyed.
Poo on it.
And you've got three very inconsistent variables around you.
they get along well, but they occasionally turn on.
Yeah, I was going to say, aren't they cliquish towards you at times?
Yes, they are. Damn
well,
it.
Screw that.
Right.
Yeah.
And I was
who
like,
bought the tickets?
Yeah, thank you, Rob.
Exactly.
Amen, brother. But I love them all. Love you guys.
And while we're doing surveys, another one just out shows that 1 out of 3 Americans steals Wi-Fi from a neighbor. The password is password. you guys all have passwords on your home wireless system?
Oh, God, I can hardly get in myself.
Yeah, you want to watch out for that, because the guy next door is tapping in, maybe looking at, you know, child porn or something. And
Richard!
And finally, crooks are still plenty stupid. In Ohio, a teenaged purse snatcher called 911 to report he was being chased by a snowplow, whose driver saw the whole thing. He really had been chased by a snowplow, but calling 911 made it real easy for police to bust him.
Wow.
In Maryland, a guy who's allegedly conducted 50 burglaries this winter gave himself away when he left his phone charging at one of his victims' homes.
No. Stealing electricity.
In Sacramento, an alleged hit-and-runner gave himself away by leaving his false teeth in the car he'd apparently just stolen and crashed.
Charlie Sheen.
And as with our first story here, a Connecticut man also screwed up by calling 911. He had called to ask how much trouble would he get into by growing some marijuana.
I have that 911 call in tomorrow's vault.
Yeah, well,
it's fantastic.
To it. I'm Buzz Burbank on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Thank you, Buzz.
You bet.
Our show brought to you by RIP Digital. Convert your entire CD collection to high-quality MP3 files without spending hours at the computer. And RIP Digital can find album art and track information that iTunes can't. Get rid of the clutter and get your long-lost favorites onto your iPod or your home theater system. RIP Digital converted Buzz's music, and they can do the same for you. There's a nice video on MikeOMaraShow.com of Buzz going to the place where they did it.
That part is good. I just like Buzz sitting cross-legged.
Yeah.
Click the RIP Digital ad on our website or visit RIPDigital.com. Which makes you more uncomfortable, Buzz sitting cross-legged like that, or Oscar Santana rubbing my back gently at the Jimmy's.
They both make me feel so glad to be me.
That's right.
What a great time to be alive, Mike.
Thank you, everybody. That's it. We got to get out of here. New show tomorrow. Thanks, and bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Bye. Jay Spector.